Today on Real Life Radio.
When Jesus ordains, this is how he does it. When he says, I want you to go do that thing. You guys, that's all we need to hear. What does God's word say to your life? Go and do that thing, then stop looking at a map, trying to figure out how you're gonna get there. Just go. Jesus said, do it, let's go.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, When Jesus Goes to Work. Now, the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only Luke, a physician, could. Here now, as we continue in chapter 8, we'll see how there's another confrontation brewing in a region known for both its illegal and demonic activity. You see, the Bible teaches us that Satan and demons are real, but their power is limited. It makes no sense that Jesus and his disciples are sailing to a place opposite of Galilee, but there is a divine reason that has no human logic to it. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that Jesus wants to set us free and to bring us to a place of peace. He wants to deliver us from our strongholds, to change us from the inside out, and empower us to do what God has planned for us to do. Now, with his message called When Jesus Goes to Work, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Apparently, for whatever reasons, demons don't like water. But off the pigs go. Possessed now. Deviled ham over the side, right over the end. Third thing this morning is this, verses 34 to 37. When Jesus goes to work, the Lord sets us free. The Lord sets us free in verses 34 to 37. We know that when we look at verses 34 to 35. The Lord sets us free by bringing to us his peace. Look what happened to this wonderful, now redeemed, blessed, healed man. Then those who fed them, that is the pigs, saw what had happened. That'd be a wild sight. And they fled and told it to the city and the country. Then they who went to see what had happened came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at Jesus' feet. That's awesome. That's where you and I want to be. Don't you think that they would have said, oh my goodness, look, the guy that's terrorized the tomb in the graveyard, he's sitting at Jesus' feet. Awesome. Awesome, Jesus. Wow. Well, they don't do that. But this man's got the peace of God. And I love that. Don't think for a moment that Jesus cannot handle your life situations. Read this again, over and over again. What is your problem? Jesus can deal with it. What are you hung up on? Jesus can conquer that. Are you running around here foaming at the mouth and your eyes are rolling back in your head and you're, Jesus can handle that. I mean, I'm not going to handle it, but Jesus will handle it. And he brings peace. Think about that in your life. I don't need to be any more specific than that. For those of you who are in other regions and other realms and things that are going on in your life, you know what I'm talking about. Jesus applies. To those of you who are saying, I don't want to have anything like this ever come near me, Jesus applies. And then look at his best. The Lord sets us free and gives us his best. Oh, this is great. I love this. Look at the man. He was clothed and in his right mind. Jesus gave his mind back to the poor man. You know this word right mind means? The guy got his thoughts back. Church, listen, he was able to think on his own. Again, that's what it means. I got my mind back. Hey, as I get older, I get very excited when I realize I got my mind. He got his mind back. Listen, this is not in my notes, but it applies to this statement, having your mind back. It is having self-governing powers over your thought process. God wants you to have this. Listen to this. There are things in spirit realm dealings, or what's called biblical demonology, there are things that are called entries. And entries are things like, and I'm not kidding, you might say, well, I don't believe you. Well, you know what? You just go research this and find out. There are things like hallucinogenic drugs are called entries in spirit activity. Hallucinogenic drugs open you up to the spirit realm of demonic powers. That's a fact. There are other things as well. Occultic type of things. I know a man who claims that he was possessed by playing over and over again a Ouija board setting, and he began to see things appear in his room, and it ruined his life. His life is still ruined, and that was 30 years ago. You say, well, that's ridiculous. Well, you may think so. When you let go of your mind and yield your mind over to some other controls or some other powers, listen, isn't it interesting that you can go buy a steak at the Billy Bob Steakhouse where they serve prime rib and spirits? What are spirits? Things that alter your mind. Isn't that interesting? That's an old English term. You can open yourself up to demonic activity and things going wrong and weird in your home and in your life and with your kids and with your husband and with your wife through pornography. Porneia in the Bible is what it's called. And it has demonic powers behind it. And when somebody invests in any one of these things, there begins to be an appetite of burning passion for any one of those things that it winds up gaining control of them and they can't function anymore without them. It is a perfect trap, a ball and a chain around your life. That's why there are groups of trying to break alcohol or drug addictions or sexual addictions or violent addictions. People who are extremely violent. Now we're seeing people in America. It's a game now among young people to walk down the street and to see someone just, it doesn't matter. The next guy comes around the corner. They'll say, the next guy coming around the corner, that's the guy we're going to beat to a pulp. And they're walking along. Guy comes around the corner, doesn't matter what age they are, doesn't matter how big or how small they are, it's a game. It's in America. It's among youth. And they'll attack an innocent person. Where does that come from? It's insane. It's sick. I thank God that Jesus is our Savior who came from heaven to earth. He's not some man-made concoction. He came from heaven to earth to set us free from this stuff. The man is in his right mind. That's awesome. But they were afraid. The people were freaking out over this. They also had been, that had seen it, told them by what means. How did this happen? By what means he who had been demon-possessed was healed? Who did this? How did this happen? By what means? The power of Jesus Christ. No doubt the answer is given to them. And they don't want Jesus around because of that. Jesus has absolute power. You guys, the name of Jesus. You ever have a bad dream that's not normal? Where you can't breathe? Or something sitting on your chest, it feels like, and you know for a moment, I need help. Call the name of Jesus. Amen. You're having dreams that terrify you, and then you get up, and then you're living under this bondage all day of, oh, I'm afraid that's going to happen. Perfect love cast out all fear. Call on Jesus. Amen. Listen. Last year, we're going up to the Temple Mount in Israel. I was ahead of you, the group. Amir was ahead of me. We saw this whole line of beautifully dressed Nigerians coming off the Temple Mount, heading back toward the bus. And Amir goes to me like this. He goes, watch this. So I'm watching Amir. And as they walk down, we're walking up, Amir goes, Jesus power? And they said, they go like this, superpower. Then he went, Satan's power, powerless power. Isn't that great? So a couple weeks ago when John Anobi, when I met John Anobi here from Mali, I said, John, is this true? He said, is what true? Jesus power, superpower. It's like international. It's like in Africa. That's what they say. Satan's power, powerless power. Don't you love that? I wish I could talk like that, by the way. It's so great. Jesus' power, superpower. Satan's power, powerless power. That is so cool. She wanted to move to Nigeria, you know. Fourth fourth and final consideration, verses 38 to 39, when Jesus goes to work, the Lord finishes what he starts. Aren't you glad? He's not like me. He finishes what he starts. I'm still painting the fence. By keeping the specific plan, God's got a plan for your life. I know that almost sounds kind of like a Sunday school statement, doesn't it? But God's got a plan for your life. It's absolutely true. It says in verse 38, now the man from whom the demons had departed begged Jesus. I would have too. Then he might stay with him. Wouldn't you have done? Is this not tender? Jesus, you know what? Look, I've lived in this stupid graveyard so long. I've been demonized by these demons. You saved me. You freed me. I don't care what anybody thinks, says, or does ever again in my life. I just want to be near you. Is that not the cry of the believer at this hour? Jesus, you set me free. I don't care what anybody thinks anymore. You are the one. Jesus, I want to be near you forever. Is that not your heart? Do we not want to be near him now forever? When the disciples were with him and he said, I got to leave. I'm going back to heaven. What do you mean? And Jesus spoke to them and said, listen, I'm going to go now, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's been with you, but after I leave, he'll be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Wow. Jesus, I don't want to go anywhere. I want to be with you. That is an absolute statement of devotion and love and appreciation. Every Christian needs to nurture this heart in their life if you've been saved. Have you been saved? Are you delivered from the life you used to live that brought destruction, hurt, and pain under the intoxication of other things? Hurting yourself as this man did, cutting himself, living among the tombs? I don't think you lived in a graveyard, but living among dead people? What are you going to do Friday? Let's get drunk. Dead people. Come on, man. Let's do it. Dead people. We were all there. Do you remember? Have you forgotten? Listen, let's remember. Only enough, not too much. Let's remember enough to know. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want to leave your side. What does Jesus say? If I were Jesus, I would have said, right on, dude, sign up. There'll be 13 of you guys. I'll leave you. Let's go. Oh, no, 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 no. He's got a specific plan. He's going to send the guy away. You say, what? He's going to send him away. It says, but Jesus sent the man away. Verse 39 says, this is what he told him. Return and go to your own house. Go back home. Really? Yep. I want you to go home and I want you to tell what great things God has done for you. And so the man went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city the great things that Jesus had done for him. Go home. Go home, Jesus said. Look at this very quickly, the mission. The guy's miracle in his life became his mission. I want to argue that that's the same thing in my life. You guys, God not only saved me of sin, I would have been dead by now if I would have continued on the path that I was on. He saved me and I'm glad to be alive. Hey, you know what? I can back up further than that. I'm standing here today as a failed an abortion attempt. So first of all, I'm very happy to be here. Okay? Secondly, I was living for hell and I didn't even know it because I didn't believe in this stuff. And he rescued me from something I didn't know. Amen. So I'm very happy about that. And then from the way that I used to be in my very nature about violence and about temper, he's freed me from that. I tell you what, with Jesus, it just gets better and better with him. The world goes more nuts, but I'm glad to be with him. And I have found out, and you have found out that, you know what? Even though Jesus is invisible, it sure is awesome to have him in you. Go figure that one out. Good luck, you can't. But he's in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And now what he has done in my life and what he's done in your life, that's our mission. Tell people. Jesus said, go home and tell people. Not only that, but listen. Verse 39 teaches us, he empowers us to do what he's asked us to do. He said, well, am I going to feel something? Oh, no, no, no. He empowers us because he has said to go do it. But watch this. When Jesus ordains, this is how he does it. When he says, I want you to go do that thing. You guys, that's all we need to hear. What does God's word say to your life? Go and do that thing. Then stop looking at a map, trying to figure out how you're going to get there. Just go. Jesus said, do it. Let's go. And go. On what authority? On what Jesus said. And Jesus said, I want you to go. I want you to go home. And in Mark chapter 5, verse 19, we're almost done. Mark 5, 19 says this. Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go to your friends, go home, and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you, how he has had compassion on you. Church, can you tell people that God's had compassion on you? Are you willing to do that? And the man departed from Jesus and began to proclaim to the Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and they marveled. Church, the region of the Decapolis is 10 cities. 10 cities. The region is Decapolis, 10 cities. Now watch this, and we'll come to an end here. This is a model of a walled city of one of them. 10 cities. This is one of the 10 cities. This is the city of Scythopolis. You who've been with us to Israel know it by its Old Testament name, Beth Shean. This is the city that King Saul's head was suspended on the gate when the Philistines beat Israel in that battle. Next slide. Oh, I thought we had more slides. We do. We have a bunch of slides. There you go. This is the actual theater that's there. Next slide. This is where this man lived. You see that street right there? It's much bigger than what it looks like. And by the way, you see that big hill right there? That's a man-made hill. See that thing? It's thousands of years old. That's much of the city. When it was conquered, they would take parts of the city and throw it over there to that side. That's how they conquered cities on those days, and then put dirt on top of it. It's called a tell. There's artifacts there that's being unearthed every day. They work, archaeologists are working there every day. Look at the main drag. This is called the Agora. You say, why are you pointing this out? Because this is not like the city that this man went home to. This is not sort of like the city this man went home to. This man walked down this street. This demoniac, and your feet can walk down that street too. It's an archaeological proven fact. You say, well, so what's the big deal? Here's the big deal. This is the first record in the Bible here where a Gentile is not only saved from demonic possession, but he's commissioned by Jesus to go home and tell his family and to tell his neighborhood what happened to him. The guy goes home to his neighborhood and he begins to tell people. And in doing so, church, listen, he becomes the first Gentile evangelist missionary. He goes home to tell his family, and we know from the book of Acts that Decapolis was a great region later on after this man's healing, a tremendous presence of Jesus with Bible teaching and witnessing going on for Christ in the book of Acts. Now check this out. That man was the first Gentile saved preaching to a Gentile city from this location that you see, because it's the first one. The gospel left that street and wound up in Chino Hills. Or where are you from? Pasadena, Norco, Corona, Riverside, Yorba Linda? Where are you from? You got the gospel because that man went to this Gentile town and told his family. And from that one man being delivered, it changed the world. Say, man, there's hope for my life. Oh yeah, there's hope for your life. See what God wants to do? Every week you come and you hear the word, and we will either rise to the occasion and say, God, here I am. I got two legs, and even if I didn't, I got two arms, and even if I didn't, I'm still breathing. Use me. God, have you noticed by now, you guys, God does not accept excuses. He doesn't believe in them. It's not that he's mean. They're just no good. They just don't work. I'm sorry, God. I can't because what? I have no excuse, Lord. If God can use this man mightily to the point of you being reached with the gospel, can't he use us? Will he not use us? Don't you think he wants to use us? I believe in a God who wants to use us. That's the God I'm going to serve. And so I'm going to approach him in my worship and in my devotion, believing that. God, I've read your book. You said that you don't esteem anybody else higher than the other and that you're not a respecter of persons. All right. Then God, I'm going to ask you to give me the teaching, pastoral teaching influences of a Chuck Smith, of a Charles Stanley, of a Charles Spurgeon. Boy, a lot of Chucks in there, huh? A Chuck Swindoll. oh God, give me the power to preach the gospel like a Billy Graham, or like a Luis Palau, or like a Greg Laurie. Oh God, you're not a respecter of persons. And just like Elijah received from Elijah a double portion of the Spirit's ministry upon him, oh God, bestow upon me a double portion of the ministry of whatever ministry you want. God, give it to me. And Lord, let me fulfill it. Lord, give it to me. You say, that's so selfish. You're asking for yourself like that. That's right, baby. Give it to me. Lord, don't let me rust out for you. I'd rather burn out than rust out. Oh, God, what do you want to do? Do it with me. Didn't Isaiah say, here I am, Lord. What did he say?
Send me.
Send me. Well, you go, Pastor. You go. No, no, Lord, here we are. Send us. Amen. Father, we ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, that in our lives, we would be a people saying, Lord, here I am. Here we are. Dear God, may we realize the late hour in which we live, that your word teaches us that we have been brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. Father, that we would act upon your word. Lord, that we would work our jobs to pay the bills, understandably, we thank you for that. But Lord, may we start investing our time in praying and telling others and loving on each other, finding out, Lord, what our brother or sister is in need of, and Lord, looking to the neighbors to see how, Lord, you might open a door of ministry to them. Maybe an opportunity. Maybe the neighbor is sick. It's time for us to mow their lawn. Maybe that's going to come around that we get to tell them about you, Lord. If you've done a miracle in our lives, and I know you've done one in my life, Lord, help me to tell people about you. Father, renew our covenant with you today to be alive for your glory. And Father, if anyone does not know you personally right now, Lord, I pray that you'd not let them rest day or night until they give up and surrender to the love of God. And Lord, that they would find for themselves, as your word says, absolute forgiveness and peace and a joy and an understanding of who and what you are. That Father, no matter how bad we might have been, your word tells us to whoever is forgiven a lot, that person will love a lot. So Lord, fulfill your plan in our lives. Jesus, be working in our lives more. We invite you. Lord, turn it up a phase or two. Lord, take it up a notch. Go to work, Jesus. Please change our lives. And all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called When Jesus Goes to Work. Thanks for taking the time to be with us today. You know, our message called When Jesus Goes to Work is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Have you ever had that feeling that your future is behind you? We often forget about the life that's waiting for us. Instead of focusing on heaven and the freedom we have to pursue Christ, our minds are only on the challenges that we're facing right now. Well, if that sounds like you, we have a great way for you to stay focused on Christ. It's Pastor Jack's desire that your relationship with the Lord takes on a whole new level, and downloading the Real Life mobile app is a great place to start. Everything that Pastor Jack has to offer media-wise is right there on the app, including Real Life TV, podcasts, live streams, and even our very own Real Life radio broadcasts. You need encouragement? Check out Pastor Jack's messages, Bible studies, and weekly devotions. Maybe you're looking to connect. We'd love to hear from you, or you can connect with Pastor Jack on social media if you'd like. It's all right there at the Real Life with Jack Hibbs mobile app. You can access the Real Life with Jack Hibbs mobile app at the App Store and from our website. That's at jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.